Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name's Mikayla. Today is our second week of Advent. Last week, Pastor Jabin talked about the promised hope. Who was here for that week? Lots of us. Great. This week, we're going to talk about the anticipation of joy. Before we start, let's just take a minute and pray. Jesus, I ask that you would come, that you would change us. We surrender our hearts, our souls, and our minds to you. I ask that you would speak to each person here, that you would use me today to clearly articulate your truth and your heart. I pray that you would encounter us today and that we would be changed. Please come and move. I thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm sure that all of us can say that we have had times of joy in our lives. Think of like when you were a kid anticipating your birthday. Maybe your mom would make you a very special cake, or you got to have a party with your friends. My ultimate favorite birthday cake that my mom and dad made for me when I was a kid was shaped as this beautiful dolphin jumping out of the blue icing ocean. It was epic. Or maybe the Christmas season was a joyful time for you. Family gatherings or special traditions. My older brother always had the hardest time sleeping on Christmas Eve because he was so excited about Christmas morning. Maybe you're a parent and you've had the joy of looking forward to the birth of your own little baby. After one of our daughters was born, I was so overwhelmed with joy and gratitude that I couldn't stop crying while I held her in the moments after she was born. So what is joy? The Webster Dictionary says that joy is a great feeling of happiness, pleasure, or delight. Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales, who knows VeggieTales? Come on. Describes the difference between just being happy and having joy like this. Joy is like hug happy, and just happiness is like cookie happy. Joy is a deeper and lasting, like the feeling you get when someone you really love gives you a huge hug. And the emotion of just being happy is more temporary and superficial, like the pleasure you get from eating a chocolate chip cookie. With a cookie, you are happy in the moment, but the happiness doesn't last very long after the cookie is done, unless maybe the cookie jar is very, very, very full. But with a hug, the feeling of happiness and joy can last for a long time. Research even shows us that a hug can cause the release of neurochemicals and hormones that promote relaxation and rest, reducing stress and anxiety, making a person feel loved, safe, and giving someone a sense of belonging. Research also indicates that a hug can impact a person's perception of pain and can impact your overall health. What I am saying is that joy is much deeper, much more significant than just feeling happy or experiencing the emotion of happiness. The Bible says some pretty incredible statements about joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Notably, this statement was in the context of a time of immense grief and hardship. So this lends to the truth that hardship and joy can coexist. John 16:22 says that no one can take away your joy. Psalm 16:11 says that in your presence is fullness of joy. The Apostle Paul in Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So, we are to find our strength in the joy of the Lord. Our joy can't be taken away. When we are in the presence of Jesus, we find fullness of joy, and we're supposed to be joyful always. Yikes. Those are some pretty incredible and challenging statements. So while I think that all of us can say that we have had times of joy in our lives, I think that we can also all say that we have had all times that are hard, or moments in our life that have been less full of joy, or times in our life that have been very lacking of joy, or maybe even times that have been very, very sad, or very, very hard. I am personally a person that feels very deeply, and I always have. Ask anyone who knows me well, and they will tell you that I cry relatively often. I'm also a person that feels great empathy and compassion for people and situations, both the joy and the sadness. If being joyful always doesn't always come easily to you, you're in good company. So, how do we be joyful always? Is Paul telling us to stuff all our feelings and be in denial of reality? Is he telling us just to pretend that everything is great and be dishonest, unauthentic, or not transparent with the people around us and with ourselves? Definitely not. Even Jesus wept with compassion, and the Psalms are full of laments and expressed emotion. But at the same time, is Paul actually telling us to have joy even when life feels very hard and is very hard? So what does this look like? And how do we do this? And more importantly, why do we need to do this? I want to take a look at our scripture passages today and look at some of the people in the Christmas story. People such as Mary, Elizabeth, and the shepherds, and I want to unpack what it looks like to be joyful always. How can we anticipate joy in both the good times and the hard times? And lastly, I want to look at where we ultimately get our joy from. If you have a Bible with you, you're welcome to turn to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we have this very wild story about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, a young teen who was engaged to be married to Joseph, had an encounter with an angel that forever changed her life. If you're unfamiliar with this story, this is how it goes. So Mary, a young virgin, was engaged to be married to Joseph. One day, an angel, Gabriel, came to her and told her that she was highly favored, and that she had been chosen to be the mother of Jesus, the long-awaited Savior and Messiah. Mary asks, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And Gabriel responds, the baby would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Gabriel further tells her that her relative Elizabeth, who was very old and well past her prime and had been barren her whole life, was also pregnant. The angel encounter ends with this incredible response of Mary saying, "Let it be done to me according to your will." Before we go on, can we just take a minute to be so inspired by this response? What a brave, trusting, and surrendered response Mary had. Not only was it so yielded to God's plan and his will, it was immediate. I want to be like this. How often do you and I doubt God's plan? Or choose to not fully obey when he asks us to do things? Mary was only given a very, very small picture of what being the mother of Jesus was going to look like, and she immediately said, yes. Let's be inspired by Mary's response, which was so trusting and so courageous. The Bible says that after the angel encounter, Mary hurried to travel to Elizabeth's, which was in a different town, and found that her old relative, Elizabeth, was indeed miraculously pregnant, just like Gabriel had said. I'm going to read this part here, Luke 1, starting in verse 39. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just like he promised our ancestors. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So let's back up and think about this story a bit more. I imagine that at the time of the angel encounter, Mary's life was probably going fairly smoothly. She was soon to be married to a man of great character and was probably dreaming about her life to come. He would be a carpenter, they would have a family, and they would live out their little life together. But Mary's life was turned upside down when the angel told her that she had been chosen to be the Messiah, the one whom the Jewish people had been waiting for. This is incredible and wonderful, but it came with a whole lot of complexity. So let's picture this together. We have a very young Mary who has just been told she's going to become pregnant while still a virgin. In Jewish law, being engaged was much more intense than it is today. It came with a commitment that was legally binding. So if a woman were to be unfaithful during that time, she could be stoned to death for her sin. That's pretty serious. This story also happened in a time in history when women had very, very few rights and were considered second class in society. Her voice and her opinion would have been minimal. In addition, the Israelites as a whole believed that the long-awaited Messiah would come as a powerful savior, a king, who would come to save them from the political oppression they were under and restore them. We can be pretty sure that the Israelites did not expect a poor, young Jewish virgin to be the one to bring forth the savior of the world. To make matters even worse, Mary was given the task of having to talk to Joseph, her family, and her community about the news and hope that they would believe her. Which at first, they didn't. And not only that, but initially Joseph, who was a very righteous man, planned to act integrally and do the right thing and divorce her quietly. I find it very, very interesting that Gabriel didn't show up to Mary and Joseph at the same time. You know, maybe one day they were on a walk together in the village and Gabriel could have spoken to them both at the same time. Notably, Joseph and Mary also didn't get a message from God about his plans on the same day either. It's generally understood that Joseph didn't have the dream telling him to take Mary home as his wife and explaining that Jesus was the Messiah conceived by the Holy Spirit until Mary returned home from her relative Elizabeth after staying with her for 3 months. However, in this all, we see incredible peace, hope, and joy in Mary's prophetic words that she says when she greets Elizabeth. So what can we learn from this story about Mary regarding how to be joyful always, even in difficult or complicated circumstances? What can we do to remain joyful even when we are in a waiting season, a moment in life when we are still waiting to see the fruition of God's promises, or a time in life where we are still anticipating joy or waiting for a breakthrough that hasn't happened yet? I see 6 things in this story that I want to briefly look at, and I think that they're helpful strategies that we can apply to our lives. As I go through each of these 6 strategies, we're going to pause for a moment after each. And I want to give you all space to ask God if there is anything that he would like to say to you about each of these 6 things. When he tells you something, I encourage you to write it down. You can open your phone and have a note. In the back is a container kind of by the coffee with pencils, and there's some sheets of paper that I'll talk about later, but you're welcome to grab one and make notes on there. But I encourage you to write it down, okay? So we're going to pause 6 times, and I want you to ask God the questions that we're going to ask him together. Often, the voice of God sounds like a thought that lights up on your mind, especially when your thoughts and focus is on Jesus. So don't be afraid to write down the first thing that comes to your mind. You can discern and ask God more about it later. The 6 things we're going to look at are: see God's perspective, find your Elizabeth, hold on to what is true, care for yourself, remember the testimonies, and practice thankfulness, worship, and praise. So the first one, see God's perspective. When it's hard to be joyful or to find joy in circumstances, it is so important to see God's perspective. According to God, Mary was highly favored. Elizabeth described Mary as blessed among women. But if you were only looking from an earthly perspective, you might not necessarily come up with this conclusion. Mary had a very difficult road ahead of her. Her fiancé initially wanted to divorce her. Many, many people throughout history have thought that she was unfaithful, and she watched her son die a brutal death. But yet, she was blessed among women, according to God's perspective. In her situation, favor was not founded on what we would generally consider favor, but this was God's perspective. I want to share a personal story from my family. When I was a young kid, this was one of the most impactful family testimonies to me. My Grandpa Johnny and Grandma Vera are incredible people, so godly and so loving. After they had my dad, their 4th child, they felt called by God to sell everything they had and go to Bible college, thinking that they were going to become missionaries. So my grandpa left his teaching career. They sold their dream property of 10 acres by a beautiful creek and were in the process of packing up to move to Bible college, all in obedience to following God's leading. At this time, there was an outbreak of meningitis in their small community. By the time the outbreak was over, 6 babies had died. So when my dad, who was just under 2 years old, broke out with the symptoms, it was very deeply concerning. As they drove him to the hospital 30 minutes away, my dad lay flat on my grandma's lap in the front seat. He was completely paralyzed and had incredible high fever. They said that they could have picked him up by his ankle and his body would have stayed stiff as a board because of the meningitis. On the way to the hospital, my grandparents were crying, and they cried out to God and surrendered my dad to God. It was almost like an Isaac and Abraham story, where not only had they dedicated their lives, sold their property, were going to Bible college, but now their son. And they dedicated my dad and gave my dad to God. When they got to the hospital, their family doctor, Dr. Lunam, came to attend to them. It was a Catholic hospital, and so the nuns gathered around them because here was another sick and dying baby. Dr. Lunam closed the curtain of the hospital room and walked over to my dad. The second that he touched my dad's body, he was instantly healed. The stiffness in his body vanished, his fever left, and my dad let out a scream. Grandpa Johnny says that the presence of God filled the room. The doctor said, "I don't know what just happened, but it looks like you just got your son back." My grandparents drove home from the hospital with their baby boy and marveled in God's ways. From an earthly perspective, my dad should have died from meningitis that day. There was no hope, there was no joy, but God had a different plan and a different perspective. And I am alive here today because God's perspective and plan for this situation included the demonstration of his power and a miraculous healing. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are far above ours. When it is difficult to find joy in a situation in your life, I encourage you to get out a journal and a pen and ask the Holy Spirit, what is your perspective on this situation? And then listen to what he says. The answer might be very different from what you have been seeing. And then you need to choose to trust and choose to believe God's perspective. I believe that by seeing God's perspective, you will be able to find more joy. So let's take a moment right now. And I encourage you to ask God, is there any situation in your life that you need to see his perspective rather than your own? So let's take a moment right now. If you want a pen and a paper, there's pens and papers in the back. Let's ask this question together, and let's just be silent for a moment. When he tells you something, remember it, write it down, and we're gonna move on. So let's just take a little moment right now. At any point, if the Lord is speaking to you, please tune me out and tune in to the Lord, okay? So you're welcome just to engage in what you need to engage into and just continue listening and speaking to the Lord, okay? The second strategy that I see in this story, I'm calling Find Your Elizabeths. Mary had a potentially very lonely journey. God had just given her one of the most unbelievable messages in history. Never before had a baby been born conceived of the Holy Spirit, and it has never happened again. Why should anybody believe her story? It would be very reasonable to respond with unbelief. This was something that was completely unheard of. But yet, God in his kindness did not leave Mary alone. He gave her people to share in her joy and to walk with her in the journey and to support her. Luke 1, verse 39 says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town of the hill country in Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. So after Mary spoke with Gabriel, she hurried to Zechariah and Elizabeth's house to see if indeed Elizabeth was pregnant, just like the angel said. And just like the angel told her, it was true. Her relative Elizabeth was also pregnant with a baby. This pregnancy, notably, was also a miracle, but in a different way. Elizabeth had conceived baby John in her old age after being barren, and well after she was not able to have children anymore. God gave Mary someone who she could talk to. He gave her someone who would understand the wonder of being pregnant with a miracle baby. He gave her someone who she could relate to because Elizabeth had also recently had her life turned upside down by an encounter with Gabriel. Remember the story of Zechariah meeting Gabriel in the temple while burning the incense? And God gave Mary someone who was able to encourage her and to speak life and truth to her. The first statements of Elizabeth that she says are so encouraging. In a loud voice, she exclaims, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Isn't this beautiful? God cared so much that Mary had support and encouragement. And he cares about all these things for you too. He cares that you have community, people around you to support you and encourage you. 6 years ago, While we were in the process of traveling and moving up to Yellowknife from BC, I started to miscarry a baby. It was a very terrible time, both emotionally and physically, and we had to stop at several hospitals along our travels because I needed to receive medical help. While we were in Calgary in the emergency department, our pastor from when we had previously lived in Calgary, Pastor Jan, heard about our situation and was in the area, so she decided to drive to the hospital to try to find us. God cared that we felt supported and cared for during this time. We had just left our family, packed up everything, and were moving to Yellowknife because we felt like God was calling us here. So at that time that Pastor Jan was walking through the hospital parking lot to try to come find us, Caleb happened to be also walking through the hospital parking lot to go and get a diaper from the truck for our toddler. God cares about the details of our lives. They were able to connect, and he was able to bring Pastor Jen back to me so that she could pray with me while I was in the emergency department. When we finally got to Yellowknife, I was in a very hard place emotionally. Pastor Jan continued to support me and greatly helped me to process all that had happened, to find truth, and to help me not believe lies about the character of God. She helped me to be able to find joy again in a time that of my life that felt very, very far from joyful. So when joy is lacking in your life, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit these questions. Who are the Elizabeths in my life? Who are the people that you have put in place to support me and help carry me to the other side? Who are the people that will be able to speak life into me and who will be able to encourage me with truth? Find your Elizabeths and be willing to be an Elizabeth for the people that the Holy Spirit nudges you to encourage and support. I believe that the right godly support will help us all to be able to have hope and joy in all circumstances. So let's take a moment. And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, who right now are the Elizabeths in my life? Who are the people that he has to support and encourage you right now? So let's take a moment. And I encourage you to ask the Lord this question and write it down. Believing truth is so important. The third strategy to find joy in all circumstances is to hold on to what is true. In this passage, Mary held on to what was true. Mary chose to believe that what the angel said about her, that she was highly favored, and what the angel said about her baby. And she pondered and treasured all of these things in her heart. Mary could have started to become doubtful or fearful. But from what we see in both her response to Gabriel and her prophetic song to Elizabeth and her response when the shepherds visited her, she chose to stand on truth. John 8:44 says that the enemy is the father of lies, and John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what does this have to do with joy? Well, deception is very deceiving. But once you realize that you're deceived, you aren't deceived anymore. I'm going to say that again. Deception is very deceiving. But once you realize that you're deceived, you aren't deceived anymore. without being very intentional, it can be very easy to believe lies about yourself, your situation, and even God's character. Believing lies can hinder your joy, and it can greatly affect your ability to have joy in all circumstances. In John 8:32, Jesus says that if you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth is imperative to living a life that is free, full of hope, and full of joy. Jesus shows us here that holding on to biblical teaching and following God's ways will bring us joy. I have started to be more intentional to ask God to show me any lies that I am believing about myself, about God's character, or about my situations. It has been very eye-opening. Recently, I had a day that I was feeling very deflated in my role as a mom. I was finding it very easy to see all the areas that I wanted to work on and become better at it. And I was having a very hard time seeing the positive. And it was starting to affect my overall outlook and my joy. I was encouraged to ask God what he felt about how I was doing as a mom. So I took some time and I asked him if there were any lies that I was believing. I asked him what he thought, and I asked him what areas he wanted me to improve on and how to do it. At the end of my time chatting with God, I was encouraged and I had a game plan to move forward. I encourage you all to do this. God is so faithful to speak truth to us when we come to him asking for help. Remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's in his very nature to show us truth. Joy is also related to obedience. In John 15, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, listen, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Why did he tell us this? So that my joy, Jesus's joy, will be in you and me and us, and that your joy may be complete. Mary showed incredible obedience to God's message. She immediately responded to Gabriel with, "May it be done to me according to your will." I believe that Mary's surrendered obedience to God's plan greatly enabled her to hold on to joy through it all. So what biblical truths can we hold on to? The Bible is filled with incredible promises. Promises such as, God will be with you always. He will help you in times of need. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will be your rock and your refuge. I have found this very helpful for me to declare biblical truths about who God is, his promises, and what he says about me. If you would like, I have a printout of biblical declarations that you are welcome to have. This one is focused on identity and what the Bible says about who we are in Christ. I have a stack of these at the back by the coffee, and you're welcome to take one. On the back, I have our six strategies also, strategies to find joy. We have a sheet of biblical declarations on our wall, and I find it very helpful to see truth, and it helps me align my perspective with God's truth. So let's take a moment. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any lies that you are believing about a joyless situation in your life, about the character of God, or about yourself? Our God is a God of truth, and he loves to reveal truth to us. So let's take a moment, and I encourage you to ask this question.
Thank you.
next strategy that I want to look at is called care for yourself. The Bible says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth and Zechariah for about 3 months. Usually the hardest time of a pregnancy is in the first 3 months. There's so much unknown, often terrible sickness, and often terrible exhaustion. On top of that, I imagine that Mary had a lot of processing and contemplating to do about what her life was going to look like. But God placed her in such a supportive place during this time. When I think of this, I see the kindness of the character of God. He is so good and so caring. I think that Mary being able to stay with Zechariah and Elizabeth allowed her to rest and care for herself, facilitating her to have joy and hope. I was recently reading a devotional book by Steve Backlund, and the particular topic for the day was titled, Questions to Ask Yourself When You're Discouraged. Discouragement can be described as a loss of confidence or enthusiasm resulting from doubting a certain desired outcome will happen. So these are three of the many questions that the author encouraged people to ask themselves when battling discouragement. Number one, are you taking care of yourself? In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, the prophet, was more than discouraged. He was suicidal. Part of his remedy was to eat, drink water, and rest. Often, our discouragement will leave when we reprioritize the well-being of our physical body. Number two, how can you increase your connection with Jesus? If we are not maintaining regular prayer, worship, scripture, fellowship with others, and yielding to his leading, then we will be more prone to battle discouragement and negative emotions. And number three, what are you thinking about when you go to sleep? If we have the habit of going to sleep worried, disappointed, or angry, then we will more likely wake up discouraged. But if we go to sleep with thankfulness, remembering the good things from the day, and receiving more of God's love, then we will increase the likeliness of waking up joyful. While God's grace is enough for us in all circumstances, there are practical principles that God has given us that we can't ignore. What I mean is that if we are not practically taking care of ourselves and valuing ourselves with doing things such as eating well, sleeping, resting, moving our bodies, and spending time with Jesus, it will be more difficult to exude things such as love, joy, patience, and hope. So while joy isn't dependent on our external circumstances, it can be valuable to practically evaluate our lives and take action to improve things that will help us to facilitate us to be joyful. So let's take a moment, and I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit or if there are any practical areas of your life that you can change. Are there any ways that you can better care for yourself and value yourself? So let's take a moment. The second to last strategy of joy that I want to look at is called remember the testimonies. God in his kindness gave Mary a sign, a testimony that she could hold on to right at the beginning, Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy. This was something tangible, a testimony displaying the miraculous nature of God, which could help give her courage and assurance. It is so important to remember all that God has done in our lives. Testimonies help us not to become discouraged, complacent, or be unhopeful. Testimonies point to Jesus and his goodness and his faithfulness. In times when it is difficult to find joy, it can be so helpful to remember the testimonies in your own life, as well as listen to the testimonies of other believers. I encourage you to keep a journal of all the ways that God has worked in your life, because in times of difficulty, it can be hard to remember the testimonies. Saturating yourself with the truth of who God is will build up your hope, build up your faith, and build up your joy. Here's an example of a simple personal testimony from my past week. A few days ago, while I was working on writing this message, I had a moment where I was feeling pretty discouraged. I cried out to God and I asked him to speak to me or show me something. Moments later, I received a text message from one of my very dear aunties. This auntie and uncle are the pastors of our childhood home church. In the message, she told me that she had just finished listening to a recording of a previous sermon of mine, and in her message, she was encouraging me and cheering me on. I was overwhelmed by the kindness of God, who used my auntie to speak encouragement to me literally moments after I had prayed. So let's take a moment, and I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit if there are any testimonies of God's goodness or faithfulness that he wants to remind you of. Is there a testimony that you can hold on to when things are difficult? So let's take a moment and ask him. The sixth strategy for joy is practice thankfulness, worship, and praise. I love Mary's response to Elizabeth's greeting. Mary says in verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." The tone of these statements are full of thankfulness. Additionally, Mary is speaking praises to God. It can be very, very easy to focus just on our own lives. Sometimes we can become so blinded by our own difficulty, our hurt, or our circumstances. But having an attitude of thankfulness and choosing to praise God takes our focus off of our lives and puts our focus on Jesus. Psalms 104 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Remember that in his presence is fullness of joy. So if you are finding it difficult to focus on Jesus and to feel and to know his presence, I encourage you to put on worship music and to sing along. I also encourage you to think of 15 things that you are thankful for and write them down. If the tone in our home is grumpy, or if our kids are having an off day, we often put on upbeat worship music, and it usually changes the atmosphere of our home. I believe that as we choose to worship Jesus and have thankful hearts, we will be able to find a deeper level of his fullness of joy. As we're going to sing the last song at the end of this service, I encourage you then to tune your attention on Jesus. Put your focus on him and engage in fully worshiping him with your whole heart. So some of you might say, okay, Michaela, that's great that you've talked about some ways to find joy and that you've encouraged us to be joyful always, but you don't know my circumstances or my past or what I'm going through. And it's true, I probably don't. But can I tell you what I do know? I know Jesus, and that changes everything. Do you remember the shepherds of the Christmas story? They were this motley crew of people who were out at night watching their sheep in their fields. Shepherds at this time in history were often the youngest boy of the family who would have had the lowest place of status in the family. Can you imagine the anticipation of joy in heaven the night of Jesus' birth? Father God had been waiting since the beginning of time to bring about his redemptive plan, his solution to sin, his solution to death, and his solution was a person, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And look at who God chose to reveal his magnificent, wonderful plan to on the night of the birth, a bunch of shepherds. Out of anybody that God could have revealed his amazing plan to, he chose shepherds. And he told them in an incredible way that included a giant, joyful angel concert. Now, do you remember who else did he reveal his plan to? Right, the wise men, the magi from the east. Have you ever wondered why a bunch of shepherds and wise men got to hear about the most incredible news from inspired revelation? Why them? The contrast of these two groups is fascinating. We have the shepherds, the lowly in society, and the magi, the high class. We have the uneducated and the educated. We have the poor and the rich. God, right at the beginning, displayed that the gospel is for everyone. So right after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, an angel appeared to some shepherds who were watching their flocks in the watching their flocks in the fields nearby. And the angel said to them, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Luke 2:8. All people, for you, for me, for all people, there is good news of great joy. And this news is the gospel. The news that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The news that the creator of the universe so desires to have a close relationship with us that he would send his beloved son to take the punishment for all of our wrong choices on himself so that we could be made right with God, so that we could have a relationship with God. The news that Jesus didn't just come to die on the cross, but after 3 days, he defeated death and rose from the grave victorious. And he is now seated at the right hand of God. And remarkably, he has already told us the end of this story. And it is good news. Jesus will be coming back again, and he will make all things right. What an incredible hope we have. Additionally, we can have joy because God will work out all things for the good of those who love him. Even our failures, even our mistakes. And we know that from Romans 8:28. Our joy is grounded in the promises of God and his unchanging character. The character of God, which is good, faithful, and full of loving kindness. Our joy is not dependent on our circumstances, but rather joy is a gift from God, which he so desires to freely give us. We ultimately can have joy in all circumstances because Jesus loves us, and nothing can separate from us from that love. So, in this Christmas season, as we anticipate celebrating Christ, let's focus on where our true joy comes from, Jesus himself. And if you find yourself needing an increase of joy in your life, I encourage you to look at the Christmas story and apply some of these strategies to your day. See God's perspective, find your Elizabeths, hold on to what is true, care for yourself, remember the testimonies, practice thankfulness, worship, and praise. Julie, if you and the team want to come up now, that'd be great. I'm going to close in prayer before we sing the last song. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that in you and you alone, we can find fullness of joy. I ask, Jesus, that for each person here, for the people that are having a hard time in life, for those that are having situations that are lacking joy, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would speak to them, that you would be near to them, because you say that you are near to the brokenhearted. So Jesus, right now I ask that you would come, that people would feel your tangible presence. That anything that you want to reveal, that you would reveal it. That any distractions that may cause people to not hear your truth or not hear your voice, that they would be gone in Jesus' name. I pray that you would give us all a greater revelation of who you are and your loving nature. I pray that you would reveal to each one of us the reason why we can be joyful in all circumstances. And I pray that you would increase the joy of lives in each person here listening. And that in this Christmas season, we would be able to be filled with your hope and your joy. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.